Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Total Media Network's Dr. Christopher Hall Show. And I'm excited to welcome to the program Dr. Christopher Hall. Dr. Hall, how are you? You know, we're recording a bunch of these when you're not busy, but thank you for your service again. And give us some inspiration. When are we going to be out of quarantine? Any predictions, or you don't want to predict?
Well, you know, this is right now it's actually hard to predict because, you know, there's really not a nationally coordinated effort. It seems like the states are pretty much depending on what the governors say. So it's hard to say. It's hard to say. But I think obviously we see some people are easing out. And the fact is this, you know, we can't let the economy collapse. We really can't. So we'll talk more about it and update a little bit later.
I have to, and I had you out as an expert on different things and the coronavirus before we thought the coronavirus was anything. They were reaching out to you before it went crazy, and you predicted all this, and I was telling people, watch out, and wow, I guess I wish there was a way to gamble, but that wouldn't be the best bet for sure. But go ahead and introduce our guest, and a really awesome guy, and introduce him.
Well, no problem. I'm very excited to have him here during this very difficult time here in the U.S. with this coronavirus. People are down, and so we have a very inspiring guest today. And so I'd like to introduce a singer, a songwriter, a record producer, and a musician, Mr. Carl Wolf. Welcome to the show, Carl.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Now, Carl, we are talking off air. How are you holding up with the coronavirus, especially being in Canada? Because that's a different, I mean, you wouldn't believe it. Like, I'm in Pennsylvania. Yeah, I'm still wearing masks when I go into the stores. But other places, it's like life is back to normal in certain ways. But in Canada, it's not the case at all. You guys are still under quarantine, and there's pretty strict rules going on still, right?
Absolutely. I mean, we did, you know what, I was one of the first ones to self-isolate. I unfortunately had the flu like 3 months ago, and it was a quick one, but I never left my house ever since then. So I've been here for 3 months by myself. You know, look, at the end of the day, our government here is taking care of the people on some level. So we've got, you know, they're taking care of the business, small businesses. There's loans, there's grants. They're paying people who are self-employed. They're paying them salaries for 4 months. So, I mean, you know, they're taking care of us. We still have to, you're right, it's kind of on a lockdown here in Toronto as well. But it's okay. It's okay. You know, we just want, obviously, that curve to just flatten, and we'll be fine. I think they're forecasting another month before they allow anyone out. But even then, they're only forecasting concerts and events by 2021.
And so that, no Canadian football then. Looks like
no,
that.
No Canadian anything.
And then what? See, how would the NHL come back then, Carl? And then I'm going to ask. I'll let Dr.
Right?
All of that.
Especially the hockey, man.
Yeah. So what
people
are you?
Going crazy.
So what? What are they going to do? They're going to say, "Oh, by the way, we're going to still have hockey without Canada." Can you imagine that?
Right.
We're going to go and have empty rinks across the United States,
right,
and say, "Forget you." And if you're in Canada, too bad. That would be terrible. Or Europe. We'll only have American players playing. Oh, whatever. We'll have to see. And that's going to be an interesting. There's so many different question marks. And Dr. Hall, who, again, is an emergency room physician in Alabama, just flat out has the answer. And that answer is no answer at all. No comment. At least he's not going on to the major shows and making those bold predictions. All right, Dr. Hall, with your go ahead with your first question, Dr. Hall, for Carl.
No problem. No problem at all. Well, Carl, you know, tell us a little bit about kind of where you're from, and I guess just your influence when you were a child. Who influenced you to go into music?
Absolutely. Well, I was, I don't know if it's written in my bio or anything, but I was born and raised in the Middle East. So I grew up in, I was born in Beirut, Lebanon, left because there was a civil war out there. My parents left under bombs and gunshots and stuff, and we left bunkers. It was a crazy time. I don't remember it. I was 3 years old, but my dad tells me all these stories. And then we immigrated to Canada, and been here, went to university here, studied film, and then became a record producer, sold about, you know, a couple million albums around the world, then started my solo career, and now have 13 awards and sold maybe 20 million records around the world as a producer, songwriter, and artist.
It's incredible.
Let's see. And then in that process, did you always think you'd be a singer? Did you ever think that you'd be this entertainer?
You know what? My mom was a piano teacher, and my dad was in a band with, there was a guy called Cliff Richards. I don't know if you guys remember him, Cliff Richards. So my dad used to play the drums and tour with them, but only when they were in the Middle East, and they would play like Lebanon and Beirut and some other places. So music was kind of in my blood. And what I liked about, what was unique about my art was that I would bring some of my old heritage, like from my parents, like that Middle Eastern touch to the new R&B, to the North American R&B. And I think that's what made me stand out.
All right, Dr. Hall, next question.
Wow. That's incredible. Yeah, so that, you know, that's really kind of what I wanted to bring out a little bit, you know. So a lot of people that listen to the show are young people. And so, you know, Carl has been through some, you know, he's very young, but still, I mean, he had to travel with his family. And at the same time, think what a little person is, a young person is taking in and what they're seeing. And so his endurance and basically able to adjust to change is very important for young people. What do you think about that, Carl? How important is it for young people to be able to react to stresses that they see as they grow up?
I mean, you know, it's really tough, especially these days with mental health awareness. And, you know, I'm glad people are more aware of it. I haven't, to be honest with you, I've been sheltered. I've been lucky because my parents tell me the stories. So they've been through unhurt. Like, I can't even imagine what they've been through and the stories my dad tells me about being shot in the back and trying to run away. I mean, he's got some crazy stories I would never experience in my lifetime. However, we do kind of carry that, you know, as immigrants in general. I think we all carry our you know, our grandparents or our great-grandparents' stories with us somehow, you know, and we remember those. So it didn't play too much of a factor in my life, but I think I can learn from them, and we just got to be strong. And there's always hope. You know, that's the great thing about being in North America in general, you know, in Canada or America. We're hopeful people, and we want to win, and that's what I'm doing with my life. And now I take care of my family. I've been taking care of my parents. They've been retired for 10 years. I've been the breadwinner of the whole family, and I can't complain.
And that's the thing, but you have to look at those things. And how hard is it for you to look at different people that are not in the United States or Canada, I guess, or not from Canada, that you really can't see right now? That's going to be a challenge, right? That there's no travel. That it's got there's good things. There's technology to communicate, but it's really rough.
Absolutely. I mean, I've still got my grandmother who's in Beirut, you know, and she's always there. I can't get to see them. I can't even get to see my parents in Montreal. And Montreal is just an hour flight from Toronto, and they've blocked the borders. They've actually put patrol cars on the highways, so no one from, I don't know if people know this, but Ontario and Quebec, like the two provinces, we can't go to Quebec, or Quebecers can't come to Ontario, for example. And so that's something that's, I can't even get to see my parents right now. So that's a little rough, to be honest.
See, that's the sure, so sure he is. He's gone through those adversity right now, Dr. Hall, because of that process and what's happening in certain countries.
Well, you know, and that's why talking to him today and talking about his story is so inspiring for all of us across the world with this virus. So it's just wow, just very, very incredible. So, well, anyway, tell us a little bit about the name Wolf. Where does that come from, and kind of what does it mean?
That's a funny story. Do you guys remember the movie with Michael J. Fox, Teen Wolf?
Yes, huge fan of that.
He would play,
yeah,
huge
right,
fan.
Me too. He was the shortest guy on the team, and but he would turn into the wolf. He'd be the fastest player. He'd make all the plays. He was a point guard.
Yep,
that's what I was in high school. So they used to call me Wolf, and they'd just do a hand gesture like a wolf, and then the nickname just caught on, because I'm like 5'8", and you know, not a tall guy on the court, but I made most of the plays, and here I am, Carl Wolf.
So that's a you wouldn't think that, you know, you wouldn't think that that's how you came up with it. Teen Wolf is not, I don't know how old you are, but I don't think Teen Wolf was out right when it was in the theaters. Right, Carl?
But, well, it was something that my parents watched, and then they would kind of, you know, I watched it through them.
Okay. Because, again, that's the, gotta love the 80s, but I don't think Carl would be entertaining people. He could have been, but Carl does not sound like, even though
I'm
don't
an
know.
80s baby. Put it that way.
Okay, so I'm 47, so I mean,
okay, not too far off.
Yeah. So, all right. Go ahead, Dr. Holt. Next question.
Wow, you guys are making me feel old, man. I'm older than both of you guys. But anyway, so Carl, you know, we come from very humble beginnings. Now tell us, what did it feel like? You know, when you first saw some of your albums break into the top 100 sales in Canada. You're at home, or you're at studio, or at your job, and you see this coming across the billboards. Explain that feeling to us.
Well, check this out. So when I first came up with, because I remade the Toto song Africa, and that
oh,
was
I'm
my,
a huge guess, fan of that. Thing. I gotta get it. I got it. You gotta send it to me. I won't play it on my show, but I got to listen to it because I'll just play them. I'm a huge fan of it. How were you a huge fan of that? For sure. Tell me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So quickly, I was in, and this goes back to Lebanon and Beirut. I remember being, we'd go there in the summers. Every summer, we'd go visit back, you know, see family, see parents, grandparents, whatever. And there was this girl, there was this neighbor, and I was 10 years old at the time. And there was this neighbor, she was like older than me. She was like 12 or whatever. And then all I remember is hearing that song in a courtyard somewhere, or was a strip mall or something. And we were together, and she kissed me on the cheek. And I heard that song at that time. And so I was like, whoa. And that it was that moment, you know, that wonder years moment. And I just couldn't forget that song, forget those harmonies. And when I became a musician, that was my goal. It was like, how do I show this to the people? How do I show this inspiration, that this passion in those harmonies? And we made it happen. It went to number one in 20 different countries. I even signed a deal in the U.S. with what was it called? A Universal Republic. So, you know,
yeah.
It became a huge hit. So it was great for me. And now Weezer did it. I don't know if you guys know that, but Weezer just remade that song.
Hey, so you have to say, hey, it was you. You were the one that inspired Weezer.
10 years prior, yes. I was ahead of my time.
Yeah, you were ahead of your time. No. Oh, interesting. So when you talk about we talk about that song and just the, it's just such a powerful song. It really is.
To me, it's one of the greatest songs ever written, in my opinion. Just from a musician standpoint, the way it goes from one chord progression to the next. I mean, the verse is a totally different chord progression than the chorus. And that is really cool. We don't do things like that in pop format anymore. It's usually just one key. You don't do key changes. I mean, I don't know if this is gibberish to everyone who's listening, but that's where I loved it. It just moved. It really moved around the chords. It was really nice.
All right. Go ahead, Dr. Hall. Next question.
Wow. Yeah, that's incredible. You know, taking those experiences and turning it into music. And so explain that process to us. You know, sometimes musicians or writers, they have experiences in life, you know, and they try to express it through their art, their craft. What do you think about that, Carl? Is that does that influence your music in any way? Say some of your life experiences or things that you've been through.
Absolutely. I mean, it's exactly what inspires me as an artist. That's, you know, when I first wrote my first album, Face Behind the Face, and there were artists like Usher or Justin Timberlake at the time. This was, I'm talking 15 years ago, 12, 13 years ago. And I couldn't, you know, I just felt like I had to find my own identity. I couldn't be, oh, just another Justin Timberlake or just another Usher. They killed it, you know. And so it was hard to, sometimes, in, you know, as a young artist starting off, you want to emulate. You want to be like someone, right? You see that they're working. Whatever they're doing is working. So why not do that style? But for some reason, I went back to my Middle Eastern heritage, and I started listening to my mom's, you know, collection of like old songs and folk songs, and I interpreted that in a certain way, and I put it into, and I mixed it actually with North American R&B and hip hop and pop, and it created something so fresh that I had, and this is before social media, well, just on the cusp of social media, people all over the world, from Europe, from the Middle East, started falling in love with my new R&B style. And it was weird. It was just such a new sound. Totally affected my future. I mean, it totally affected what I do. So it's an important thing for me, for sure.
Definitely. And that process. So take us after those hits. What? How did you kind of go from there in that process in your career?
So here's the story. So we, you know, before Africa, because that was the moment that I started to, that was the number one that I had. Prior to that, it's all a ramp, right? It's a ramping up to the success. So all my songs were going kind of, nobody really, you know, at least from a media standpoint, no one was giving me the chance, even from a record label standpoint. So people would hear my songs, you know, record executives would be like, oh, dope. I mean, we love those songs, but, you know, we don't think he's a star. You know, I mean, I heard that so many times in my life that it really broke me down, to be honest. So the way I thought about it is, you know what, if you like my songs and you like my production, let me produce your artist and let me make some money that way. I built my empire that way on some level. So I started producing for other artists and I'd go platinum and gold and awards. And it was not a fluke at that point, but nobody wanted to sign me as an artist, like as a solo artist. And that, so one day, once I sold about, I think it was it half a million albums with this artist. It was a TV show. It's kind of like an American Idol, but it was called Canadian Idol, something
okay,
like that.
Okay.
And I sold, we went like, right. Yeah, sold like 500,000 albums. At that point, I was like, man, I got to go and work on my own solo album. I'm not going to accept any more production projects. I'm going to focus on my solo career. I did that. I put my own money into it. And at that point, Africa, like, was the song that I bought the rights to, or I paid 20, like I got 25% of the rights of that song, and I put it out and it exploded around the world. And here we are.
Wow. Okay. So that's an interesting story. And that's, again, Carl, the story that I bet you know, people in Canada that are breakout stars in the United States, and I'd be blown away who, you know, in your Rolodex, right? Of people, you know,
absolutely. Absolutely. We got tons of them. I mean, you know, it was harder for me. I've noticed it, that it's easier for other people. I don't know if it was ever my Middle Eastern heritage, I'll be honest with you. I don't know if that ever played a factor in it. I can never say, okay, I can never say, because I never felt anything like that. But I'll tell you, it was much harder for me than a lot of my peers who were around me. I mean, you know, we're friends with people like The Weeknd. We're friends with people like Drake. We're friends with, so there's a lot of superstars coming out of here, like Justin Bieber. We're all connected somehow. You know, I know Justin Bieber's dad. I mean, it's a small network.
Well, because so, you got to stick together, right? Because there's not as many breakout stars in Canada as there are in the United States.
Absolutely.
So when you're like this tight knit group in a way, saying, "Hey, we made it here. We can make it anywhere." And
right.
It sounds like New York, but it's true in Canada.
Right.
If you made it in Canada, I mean, like, you made it in the United States, being from Canada, you're set in stone, because it's not as easy to break out. We're talking about, you know, how you were the success. Then we're talking about, you know, someone off air. I'm not going to bring up their names because you get mad at me. But ultimately, how a different industry and controlled by the government, how they can't make the money that you and your predecessors did. Okay, go ahead. Next question, Dr. Hall.
Wow, and that's just incredible. And so, and so that brings up another kind of point regarding challenges. And as Carl said, he had to work hard. You know, you can't say particularly why. I mean, certainly he comes from a different background, and a humble background. And so, when young people face those challenges, Carl, you know, whether field they want to go into, whether it's managing, you know, making music, what are some of the basic principles that you think they can use to fly higher and above when you face those challenges in life?
I think uniqueness plays a huge role in it. Determination, of course, just you know, seeing the vision. I think more than anything, just knowing your direction, knowing your goal. because ultimately you got to be able to maneuver around the obstacles no matter what, but you got to be focused on that light. And I think that's where my brain was the whole time. I was seeing a light, and I'm like, how do I get there? Whatever it takes to get there, jump, you know, fall, fight, push, whatever I have to do, I just have to get towards that light. And I think that's always been my focus. It still is to this day. I mean, we didn't break in the U.S. in a big way. You know, I've been a Canadian star, you know, but in America, nobody really, I mean, I'm still new. We're doing some promo now. We're getting out there. But, you know, it's still... Not a struggle, but it's a passion project. But I'm still on my way. I'm still climbing an uphill for sure.
So being a star in Canada compared to being a star in the United States, again, this is the question, because again, the breakout stars that came from Canada that broke out in the United States, when you mentioned Drake, Justin Bieber, you can talk about other people as well and as actors or different things. Is that a motivator, even though you're a big fish in Canada, but you would love to be a big fish in the United States?
I would think so. You know, like we're America's our cousins, man. So we're there in tandem. And you know, the States has done incredible stuff throughout the years. I mean, you guys have been on the forefront of, you know, the movie business, the music business. I mean, it's the originator, right, of all that amazing stuff. So we see that. We know what's up. You know, and it's a big market. I mean, America is like the biggest, largest music market in the world. You know, second to Japan, believe it or not, or Germany or something, or Canada, actually, where we're maybe second or third. So, yeah, it's definitely a goal of mine. I forgot to mention, my brother is American. He's from San Diego. So he's American-Canadian heritage. So, you know, it's a family thing. It's like, and we know that that's where the big fish is. And we want to get it too.
All right, Dr. Hall, next question.
Wow. That's very, very interesting. So, you know, tell us about so far as, you know, your trailblazer, and so you have your own kind of brand. What have you thought about moving more into film, or what do you think?
You know what? I've been asked. I've been sent scripts and things of that nature. I haven't. You know, I'm a perfectionist. I want to, you know, I'm a musician. I love what I do. And I believe in, if you're going to do something, do it incredibly, like do it very well. I'm not ready for the acting side. If I was, I'd probably take tons of coaching, tons of lessons, just to make sure I'm up to par. Cause you know, it's not, it's one thing to be a talent in one side and one facet. I don't want to be that artist that just goes into film and just barely makes it and then it's not convincing, or I'm not good at it. So I think that's where I'm at with that for sure.
So, and that's the thing, you have that talent, and especially behind the scenes, you produce. Producers are even more not controlling, but really want things their way, right? A producer's a little different than in front of the camera, being behind the music. It's a different story. There's so many late hours, editing, doing different things, that you are going to break into something else. You want to be able to be as talented as you are in that area, right?
Correct. Absolutely. It's really important. I mean, we want to take what's out there that's been done in a great way and to almost take it to the next level and do it as good or even better. You know, I think doing it any worse, you might as well go home and study and just get your craft up to speed.
All right. Okay. So just kind of Dr. Hall, summarize Carl.
Oh, no problem. And first, I'd like to say that, I mean, his energy level is he has so much energy. It's all across the wires now. But we have a very inspirational individual, very energetic, a trailblazer, one who's shown us that, you know, we can come from a humble background. And we can have challenges where we have to sometimes find our own door. He's laid out this for our young people. Believe in ourselves. Work hard. Prepare for what we're going to go into. And so these are all great messages for our young people. And so I'm very excited that Carl came on the show today. So thanks for coming on the show, Carl.
Wow, thank you for having me. This was amazing. Appreciate you guys.
Latest project, Carl. Latest projects people can check out and stuff.
Oh yeah, it's it's a single. It's called City of Lies. It's currently out everywhere on all digital platforms. I love it. It's kind of my new album, sounding kind of it's got this 80s feel to it. I'm pretty excited about it because I know that there's the appetite for it now. I've got the album dropping in September. It's called Night of the Wolf, and that's about it.
Awesome.
You got to join the group. What's bothering you? For sure, Carl, especially if you're a fan of Frank Cavallaro, and I'm sure there's some things bothering you. So definitely look up on Facebook, the group, What's Bothering You, and just message saying, I know Neil. And you, again, I'm sure there's a lot, you have a lot of fans all over the world that love you. And, it's great to catch up with you for sure.
God bless, man. Thank you.
All right. Take care, guys. Appreciate
it. God bless you, Wolf.
All right. That was the Dr. Christopher Hall Show, guys. Take care, everybody.